An amazing start to the last 16 as Atletico hit 5 and Bayern score 6 to make serious statements in this season's UEFA Champions League. Galatasaray see off Liverpool and Barcelona score with the last kick through Lamine Yamal to draw at Newcastle. First leg drama across Europe. We'll review it all over the next 30 minutes. Welcome along with myself, Chris Parrott, and the last 16 got underway in style. Here are Tuesday's results. Newcastle 1, Barcelona 1, Atalanta 1, Bayern 6, Atletico 5, Tottenham 2, and Galatasaray 1, Liverpool 0. The European football expert Alvaro Romeo is alongside me, so is the commentator Richard Kaufman. We're going to get into all those scorelines in detail, but quickly, gents. What a night for Atleti and Bayern. I mean, one foot and a couple of toes into the quarterfinals already ahead of the returns next week.
Definitely. Well, Bayern is the one who got the heaviest win after winning 6-1 away at Bergamo. In a great performance, it never looked in danger. Bayern started scoring goals and they didn't stop. In fact, the goal of Atalanta was a late consolation. But Atletico de Madrid's game was very special as well for Atletico fans, obviously. But Tottenham managed to somehow take a little bit of a lifeline into the second leg, I suppose, because at least, you know, they have scored 2 goals, they have managed to score in a very difficult situation. I wish the best, by the way, to Cuti Romero and Palinha, because they had a crash at the end of the game. I don't know if they had a concussion, but I really hope that they are fine. But yeah, it's been a terrific day, starting by Galatasaray beating 1-0 to Liverpool in the Ali Samijen with a goal from Lemina.
And Richards, you were commentating, we'll get into it, on Newcastle against Barcelona. Amazing atmosphere all day in the city. Newcastle very, very close to what would have been another famous win against Barcelona.
Yeah, it needs to be remembered by the Newcastle fans, and I'm sure they will once they let it all absorb. Maybe by the time they listen to this, they'll be reflecting on a performance they could be proud of, a team performance, tactically superb from Eddie Howe, and even though heartbreak at the end, they go into the second leg with everything to play for. And for Hansi Flick, well, I think relief that they weren't beaten on the night. They got the draw.
They did. Could be an absolutely crucial goal. We will talk more about the clash at St James's Park shortly, but let's start in Italy, because teams very rarely in the UEFA Champions League knockout stages score 6 goals. Bayern did that. They were brilliant in the league phase, finishing second only behind Arsenal to qualify automatically for the round of 16. And my word, they showed their might, Alvaro. 6-time winners, 6 goals in a very difficult place to go. And by the way, they didn't even have Harry Kane. So astonishing stuff. Stanisic, Elise twice, Gnabry, Jackson and Musiala all inside the opening 67 minutes.
I mean, but the quality of the players you have mentioned, I mean, that tells the story partially, I would say, because, you know, it's not easy to go to Stadio di Bergamo. Let's don't forget that Borussia Dortmund conceded not long ago, 2 weeks ago only, a few goals there, and then they got knocked out from the Champions League. But Bayern played with a different composure. They started scoring very early. That set the tone for the rest of the game, obviously, with Stanisic scoring in the 12th minute. And then the quality they've got. Bayern has a plethora of strikers, wingers, forwards. You can call them wherever you want. But Olise, Gnabry, Jackson, Musiala are fast, are good. Some of them are ultra-technical, like Olise. Some of them are very direct, like Jackson. Musiala has come back this season, and we know that he can do plenty of things in between the lines as a number 10. It's scary, really. It's very scary. And the prospect that probably their best scorer, well, not probably, definitely their best scorer, Harry Kane, wasn't really needed, tells you the story. So congratulations to them. Of course, we give a little bit of benefit of the doubt to Atalanta, but we can say that Bayern is 95% qualified.
Yeah, amazing stuff. Michael Olise was the player of the match. That that left foot is something to behold. A gorgeous performance from him, and indeed for Bayern. Great scenes at the end for Atalanta, though. The stadium was still full. Recognising, I think, the journey they've been on this season to reach the last 16. They were given a great reception, and they will go to Munich next week, of course, for the second legs. But Bayern completely in charge of that 6-1 away victory in the UEFA Champions League knockout phase is something to celebrate, that is for sure. Let's head to St James's Park next, though, the northeast of England. Newcastle taking on Barcelona in a repeat of a fixture from match day one. Eddie Howe going into the game telling his players to make the most of this opportunity. A once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, in many ways, is what he was saying. And boy, they did that. Alvaro and Richard were on commentary.
Alanga now, right wing, crosses it, good ball in, Asula just over the crossbar with a header. Alanga gets to the touchline, balls it across, and Asula was a whisker away from getting on the end of that. Rafinha, wonderful control, inside the area, left-hand side, Lewandowski puts it wide. And Jacob Murphy on the right-hand side, looking for the 1-2, gets it, lovely ball across, what a chance, and Newcastle have scored. Harvey Barnes on the volley at the far post. St James's Park erupts, and Newcastle may well have a lead to take to the Camp Nou after all. Dani Olmo inside the box goes down, and a penalty. It's a penalty to Barcelona with 4 minutes and 20 seconds of injury time on the clock. Malik Thiaw with the foul on Dani Olmo. It's Lamine Yamal against Aaron Ramsdale. Maybe the last kick of the game. Left-footed, slides it into the corner. Ramsdale goes the wrong way. And Barcelona have a late, late equaliser at St James's Park. Yamal, coolness personified.
It certainly was some Lamine Yamal. Never looked like missing, nerveless moment, Richard. And Newcastle were nearly perfect, but Barcelona, right at the end, with what was the last attack, showing the quality, I guess, in the run for the foul, for the penalty, and then the way that Lamine Yamal just tucked it away as if it was a training ground exercise.
Yeah, Lamine Yamal probably had one of his quietest UEFA Champions League nights, yet he has the final words. Shout out Lewis Hall, I thought had a fantastic game for Newcastle at left back, the player that pretty much kept Yamal quiet until that last moment when he stepped up and put the penalty away. Listen, great teams, you know, potential winners do this sort of thing, what Barcelona have done, which is when you think that they've not been at their very best, when you think that they've been second best in a match, they somehow claw something out of things and they find a big moment late on when really you think about the saves Aaron Ramsdale had to make. Well, really didn't have any saves to make in the match. Not that, you know, Newcastle, you know, had chance after chance. I mean, again, down the other end, you know, Juan Garcia did have a few more saves to make. And yes, Newcastle did hit the post, but it wasn't like every chance was coming. But you felt in the last 15 minutes or so that Newcastle looked like they were going to score. And when they did score, it wasn't a huge surprise. But yeah, all to play for. I mean, Newcastle will go into that match having stepped up tonight. And I know it's different when you're at home. There's no doubt about it. But if they want to look at a game and think, can they stand up to the test? Well, tonight's the match they need to look back at.
First time in the last 16 as a club, Newcastle, who have been on this journey. Of course, they had an amazing win against Barcelona in the late 90s, a hat-trick from Tino Asprilla, who was at St James's Park. Met them at the beginning of the century as well. But did they prove tonight, this group, my word, yes, we do belong amongst the top 16 teams in Europe with that performance, even if at the end, ultimately, it was a bit flat because of the way that Barcelona scored with that last kick.
They belong here. I think that their energy is contagious and takes them here. But it's not only about energy. It's also about positioning yourself well, being close to the opponent, attacking in waves. This is something that Newcastle United does a lot, especially in their own ground, and Barcelona suffered a little bit from that. I'm going to say something about Barcelona that they never say. the last ditch defending of Cubarsie and Gerard Martin was quite decent.
Yeah.
They are quite young, and Gerard Martin was a fullback a year ago, so maybe this is something to look out for Barcelona for the, you know, the final third of the season, I suppose. But yeah, Newcastle made Barcelona play in their own terms, and I think that Barcelona is going to try to do the same thing at the Camp Nou, the reverse, the opposite thing. But yeah, a good game by Newcastle United. Luis Hall got today probably like a degree in football, and he's a doctor in football now. I mean, he can play in the Champions League, he knows that, we knew that, but today he proved that against Lamine Yamal. Joelinton was very good as well, and generally speaking, Newcastle's energy was not matched by Barcelona, but then at the end, quality from Dani Olmo, who is a player with a lot of clarity when he gets into the box, and then a cool penalty from Lamine Yamal, who had a very quiet game, by the way, gave Barcelona hope. More than hope.
Well, let's hear from the Newcastle coach, Eddie Howe, now.
Focusing on the game itself, I thought we were outstanding. Really, really good performance against a very good team. I thought we were very good in both halves. We kept the intensity up, which is very difficult to do against them for so long in the game. And yeah, the moment at the end obviously taints that in a negative light, but I think one of our best performances. You just hope that something would fall for us that was presentable. It does for Harvey. It's a brilliant play by Jacob Murphy. I thought we played really well without opening them up to a catalogue of chances. I thought we had enough to maybe score before we did.
Typically measured there from Eddie Howe. And was it no surprise? You mentioned Lewis Hall. Harvey Barnes was also magnificent, the UEFA player of the match. Was it no surprise that ultimately, although the move was on the right, that one of the left-hand side of the Newcastle team came up with their moment? They were both brilliant.
Yeah, they were, but you go through the whole team. I don't think there was a poor Newcastle performance. Interesting hearing from Eddie Howe there. And they've put in a performance. He's an excellent coach, Eddie Howe. You know, he's an experienced coach, even though he's not old. He's young, really, in managerial terms. And I think he can be proud of the way he set up his team tonight, how he's gone toe-to-toe with Hansi Flick, who's, you know, head coach at Barcelona, won the treble, you know, won six trophies in a season with Bayern München, a team that were unbeaten on their way to winning the UEFA Champions League a few years ago. So, yeah, there's a lot tonight for Newcastle to be proud of.
Yeah, and going back to the coaches, I think that there was a bit of a testament, respect from Hansi Flick to Eddie Howe when he waited for Eddie Howe to do three substitutions in one set, by the way, before he did his own substitutions. Because there was the feeling that Newcastle had always a little bit the upper hand, and Hansi Flick knew that. And he knew that the move that Eddie Howe was going to make was going to be decisive, so he waited. So Eddie Howe made his three substitutions first. He added the likes of Anthony Gordon, who didn't have the time maybe or the energy this time to make a difference. Fermín López plays for Barcelona as a number 10, and he's the most Premier League player of La Liga, really, in terms of transitions. He triggers fast, he takes the shots from anywhere. Today, he couldn't do that. So if Barcelona gets into Newcastle's rhythm again at Camp Nou, they are going to suffer. If Barcelona, however, plays possession football, and hopefully, you know, the best players of Newcastle and Barcelona will be back for the second leg, not the young, but many more, then the game will be different for Barcelona.
Second leg is set up beautifully. Next Wednesday, it's the early kickoff as well at Camp Nou. 1-1 after the opening match of this round of 16 tie. It was a brilliant watch and listen. Still to come, we'll look at Tuesday's other games, which included the six-time champions Liverpool visiting Galatasaray.
Take UEFA Champions League Matchday Live with you wherever you go, with audio commentary, real-time stats and much, much more. Get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
Well, let's head to Turkey. Galatasaray taking on Liverpool, as I mentioned. And here was the winning moment in the first leg. It came early. Steve Wilson was on commentary.
Saras, corner, Osimhen, it's in! Mario Lemina heads Galatasaray in front.
He certainly did, and that was the difference. Both teams had a second half goals disallowed. Ergacan Çakır was superb in goal for the Turkish team, and there was an incredible tifo at the beginning of the game which celebrated Victor Osimhen and his family, almost brought him to tears in the UEFA Champions League anthem, and a lovely moment when he went over to his adoring public as well. He was excellent. Once again, he's now been involved in 8 goals in the UEFA Champions League this season, which is the most ever by a Nigerian player in a single campaign. It was Mario Lemina who was the official UEFA player of the match, and we can hear from him now.
My feelings is that are congratulations to the team, to the fans, because they've been amazing today. We tried to play a little bit like the first game that we played against them. I think it was a little bit similar. Really tough to play against them. Congratulations, because we put really hard work on it, and hopefully we're going to go in Anfield and give our best and win, you know. And now I'm living a dream, to be honest. We first in the league, we still in the cup, we doing really well in the Champions League, so we are really happy and we want to continue like this.
Yeah, on for a very good season, Galatasaray, and eyeing up the quarterfinals now in this competition. Here is the Liverpool coach, Arne Slot.
You play over 2 games against each other, and now it's half-time, they're 1-0 up. We can do better, I'm 100% sure about that, but even with the game we've played, we had enough chances to score goals. We didn't, but next week we play at Anfield, and our fans will be so supportive for us, because I think that was today the situation for Galatasaray. They had great support from their fans. Was difficult for us to play and difficult for another person on the pitch to manage the game. So yeah, let's hope we can create the same atmosphere next week at Anfield.
Could be another famous European night at Anfield. It's certainly set up beautifully. Well, earlier on I caught up with our reporter Erin Otkin, who was in Istanbul covering the game, and we began by speaking about that performance from Mario Lemina.
He plays very well tonight in the game, the both side of the play. He plays very well. And also I made a flash interview with him, and he's very proud of the teammates and about himself. I think he plays very well tonight.
And how about the atmosphere? We heard from Arne Slot just then talking about what a boost it gave Galatasaray. Yes. Was that important? Were the fans important?
Yeah, also we before the game we made an interview about the we talk about the atmosphere in the stadium, and he also said just right now when he says I can't speak also now before the game. Yeah, it's in Istanbul, Galatasaray's home site place. It's something like it's unknown thing, not unknown thing. This is very known from the European football clubs.
It certainly is. And it looked absolutely amazing, particularly when the goal went in. Liverpool, it's only a 1-goal deficit. What do you think they can take from tonight going into the second leg at Anfield?
Yeah, I think that it's a very different game. There is not Istanbul game, because in Anfield they play very confident, and also their fans are also amazing. Also, they are very famous about it. And I think it's a different game.
Erin Otkin there is beautifully poised. Galatasaray last in the round of 16 in 2014, last beyond this stage in 2013. But they have an almighty chance now heading into that second game. Well, the final of Tuesday's fixtures to look back on. Atletico 5, Tottenham Hotspur 2. History made by Diego Simeone's team, who were 3-0 up. Inside 14 minutes and 59 seconds, to be precise. That is the earliest a side has been 3 goals ahead in a UEFA Champions League knockout stage match. I mean, just an extraordinary start for the team from Madrid.
It's been impressive. I think that Atletico de Madrid needed a win like this. This is definitely their year in the knockout tournament, because they qualified for the Spanish Cup final. And also because in the Champions League, they're going to put all their efforts. At the end of the day in La Liga, they will probably qualify for the Champions League again, but they've got no chance of a title race. Atletico is a team that has a lot of firepower right now. Because let's don't forget that Griezmann, Julian Alvarez, Lukman, and Giuliano Simeone are supported by Sorloth from the bench,
yeah,
if needed. And Sorloth many times plays as a starter too. But
and we saw what he did previously, Alexander Sorloth, in terms of his, yeah, his goal-scoring ability.
He's been a really good signing for Atletico de Madrid. But I would like to single out Julian Alvarez, because he has scored already 7 in the Champions League, and those are very impressive numbers. For a player who, at the end of the day, we thought that maybe he wasn't having a season as good as the last one. And look at him. One of the goals he scored today, by the way, was a terrific, terrific run on his own. 60 meters, a quick counter-attack.
Yeah.
He did it solo, on his own.
Glided across the turf at the Metropolitano. So they were 3-0 up inside 15 minutes. 4-0 up after 22 minutes. So from a Tottenham perspective, two goals back ultimately through Pedro Porro, Dominic Solanke. Given the situation they were in, three goals down going into the second leg, that they have shown some character. Tie not completely done, which perhaps people would have thought after 22 minutes when it was 4-0.
No, definitely. And I think that Tottenham has shown that they are quite strong at home in the Champions League. Especially, I believe that in the last four games on the group stage, they didn't concede in the league phase, which is good. They won the Europa League last season. Of course, things are not going well, but they've got danger in them. Even in a not-so-good night, they scored two goals at the Metropolitano, which is not an easy task. And I wouldn't say this is over. I mean, it's all down to how the game starts. If Atletico de Madrid manages to get their act together and defend well in the first half, then probably they will be on course to qualifying for the quarterfinals. If not, maybe Atletico suffers more than they thought.
You never know. You never know in the UEFA Champions League. So, how about Wednesday? Because there are four more first legs getting underway. Our commentary game is going to be another clash between Real Madrid and Manchester City. Richard, it's become a bit of a classic fixture. These two going head-to-head again. It rarely disappoints at whatever stage it comes.
I reckon our producers must have had a really hard time knowing which game to go with tomorrow night, because there are some real mouth-watering clashes, and that certainly is one of them. You know, Real Madrid and Manchester City, you know, there's the history with Pep, and obviously from his Barcelona days as well. It's a game that you're just never quite sure what's going to turn up. And I think that's what, you know, makes it as tantalising as it is, really.
One of those that the winner of this tie will definitely be amongst the favourites to then go all the way. And for the other, it will be round of 16 and out. That there's just the way that the draw has happened. What are you expecting? In what shape are Real Madrid going into this game?
Look, they are getting results in La Liga. It's true that 9 days ago they lost against Getafe, but then against Celta they managed to win in the last minute. They are not too far off from Barcelona, so there is a title race. This is a very important game for Real Madrid. Kylian Mbappé is not playing, most likely, which is going to be obviously a big miss for them, because he's the top scorer of Real Madrid this season. And I would like to see the level of Rodri. This is an important game for Rodri too, I would say. He's been injured for a long time, he's back finally, and this is a game in the biggest scenario in the Champions League.
Pep Guardiola ahead of the first leg. He was asked about their form compared to 12 months ago. We arrive better in terms of where we are with the squad. Last season we arrived with a lot of fatigue and had few players available. You know, I guess you might say a coach is never going to say, well, we were better last season than now, but clearly in buoyant mood, playing some good stuff, and we know that the dangers that Manchester City have.
Yeah, but I think, picking up on what Alvaro said just now, I think there is a vulnerability about both these teams in some respect, which hopefully will make it for a really cracking match. You know, I was really looking forward to tonight, Newcastle against Barcelona, because I thought it's going to be, and it proved to be the case, two teams are going to go out and try and win the game. And you know that's going to be the case where Manchester City are playing Real Madrid.
Certainly is. Tune in on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live, Real Madrid against Manchester City again in this competition. Wednesday's other games, the early one, Leverkusen against Arsenal. The English side, of course, having a brilliant season under Mikel Arteta. Here's his opposite number tomorrow, the Leverkusen coach, Kasper Hjelmand, who can't wait for the game against the Gunners.
It's always about looking at the opportunities, and in football, things can happen. I think Arsenal is the clear favorite in this. They are on top of the game. They have been building a squad for years. We have 14 new players from last season out of 25. We are building, we are still learning, we're still adapting, but we are getting more and more quality. But in a game and or two games, everything can happen, and we have a lot of quality in our team. And if we are sharp, if we play our best, if everyone expresses themselves, and if we play with courage, and who knows? And this belief is very important for us. And I always believe we can do it when we go into a match like this.
Stirring stuff from Kasper Hjelmand, who's done a fine job at Leverkusen since taking charge elsewhere. I mean, Richard mentioned about the difficulty of picking the commentary game. Paris Saint-Germain against Chelsea, the defending champions, against a Chelsea team who score plenty of goals. A repeat of some classic Champions League matches around 10 years ago, with some very, very late goals in those games. And Bodo Glimt against Sporting, the debutants on this fairy tale run, having knocked out Inter in the last round, having beaten Manchester City and Atletico at the end of the league phase. Now they now take on Sporting with the first leg in the Arctic Circle tomorrow night. We can hear from the Bodo Glimt coach, Kjetil Knutsen. Now he's been analysing the challenges that Sporting will pose to his team.
First of all, Sporting is a good team. They are, for me, a typical attacking team. They play with a high risk, but they are really smart because they have a lot of players behind the ball and they want to play in big spaces. So we need tomorrow to be really good in the press so we don't open the space and give them opportunity to play in big spaces. I think they also will play and think about the result. So I think they will be, when they attack, they will be really balanced and but we know we're playing against a top team. So we just, at the moment, are just looking forward to meet a new opponent. It's really nice, and we know it's a good individuals, a really good team. So we're looking forward to it.
It'll certainly be another great occasion. Bodo Glimt at home in the round of 16 of the UEFA Champions League against Sporting on Wednesday, back to Tuesday. And we can hear from Newcastle's goal scorer now. They were so close to another famous win against Barcelona in this competition before the late penalty, but Harvey Barnes was very proud of his club's performance.
I said I thought we played really well in the game. We controlled it well, had some good chances away from the goal, and I thought we were on top for a lot of it. And I was, you know, when it was 0-0, I was thinking we need to capitalise here and get ahead, which we did. So we've obviously played them twice now, so we've got a taste for what they're about. We're probably two teams that want to go and press and take the game to each other. So, you know, it's going to be a different sort of game at their place, of course, but we know what we can do.
Newcastle will go there with plenty of heart, I am sure. Just a recap of Tuesday's results then. 1-1 in the game that Harvey Barnes starred in. Newcastle against Barcelona. Atalanta 1, Bayern 6. Atletico 5, Tottenham 2. Galatasaray 1, Liverpool 0. Gents, have been asked for your moments of the night. There were plenty of them across Europe.
Well, it's got to be in the game that I watch, really. There's an 18-year-old who stepped up last kick of the game and put away a penalty like he was in the park against a couple of mates.
Yeah,
I mean, Lamine Yamal, just, I mean, I'm not surprised to put it that way, but he's like a, you know, I cover a lot of golf. He's like a seasoned pro. You know, sometimes you know there's a player over putt and they're going to maybe have the yips and miss that one. There was no way Lamine Yamal was going to miss it. You know, what a wonderful temperament to be able to do that in a you know, red hot atmosphere like we had at St James's Park tonight.
I'm going to go for Julian Alvarez and his solo goal. I mentioned it before. He scored a beautiful goal. He scored two, but one of them is special.
It certainly was. Watch it on UEFA.com and the Champions League app. Alvaro, Richard, thank you very much for your company. That's all we have time for. And it was a cracking night to begin this season's last 16 on the road to Budapest. Matchday Live will be back on air from 8:45 p.m. Central European time on Wednesday. Full commentary of the huge matchup as Real Madrid, the record winners, host Pep Guardiola's Manchester City. Plus, we'll bring you the goals as they go in and the storylines from the rest of Wednesday's games. The second legs, by the way, only next week. For now, from me, Chris Parrott, and the rest of the Matchday Live team, it is goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.